Thank you very much, John. I know that was a workout, and you had an excellent job in reverentially reading that verse. You know, our three texts we gave, two of them just explicitly stated that praise is good. It's good to sit, and then 2 Chronicles 20 gives an illustration of that goodness. Everything God commands to you is for your good. I tell you, a passage of Scripture that's really colored my understanding of Scripture, Deuteronomy 10:13. These things I'm commanding you today are for your good. Never be afraid of what God would say to you. It is for your good. If He forbids you from doing something, He's trying to protect you. If He tells you to do something, maybe scary, but okay, that's His finger pointing out the best path. I've quoted the German reformer Martin Luther before, who said if God told him to eat dung on the street, he would eat it and he would expect something good to come out of it. And he hasn't asked you to do that. But there's just an implicit trust in God's goodness. His will is good. It's good, acceptable, perfect. His ways are good. And that's what you'll see here. It says if we do what the primary thing, we get the secondary things. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Our responsibility is to walk uprightly. God's responsibility and His timing and will is to give us the good things. Seek first His kingdom, the other things will be added unto you. God is good. That's the devilish attack from the very beginning was to attack the goodness of God. You and I would not sin unless we thought something good would come out of it. So we are deceived at that level. So, the goodness of praise. God displays His goodness as we praise and worship Him. God doesn't tell us to praise Him because, well, He needs a little attention. He's having a bad day. He's tired of, oh, and there is much indifference toward God and disrepute of God. This morning, early as I was, got a little exercise and was working out, this individual showed me something I was shocked at, and I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it, I guess, but he says he was watching 60 Minutes, and this little clip came on. He says he couldn't believe it. I guess he was recording it, and then he recorded this sort of commercial. It was, maybe you've seen it, I don't know. Here's what he couldn't get the sound on it, but this is what the person said. It was a clip from Ronald Reagan's son. Now, I really appreciated Ronald Reagan, but I don't know anything about his son. But Ronald Reagan's son, I guess until... Ronald Reagan's son, is the commercial is for what? Funding the freedom from all religion. You know, the idea of just separation. Freedom from all religion. And here is, he said what he said. He says he couldn't believe it. And this person is not the most religious person I've ever known in the world, but he said, I couldn't believe it. He said it. I love this dear man. I'm praying for him. I really appreciate him. But... And I'm also going to be praying for Ronald Reagan's son. Here's what he said. He says, I have been an atheist all my life, and I'm not afraid of burning in hell. He was shocked. I was shocked. Well, God is getting, He doesn't need anything, but it's out of His sheer goodness He wants to what? Allow us to be able to enjoy Him in His perfection. What does it do to praising God? Why is it good? I'm going to give you five things, and there's infinitely more. But one, praise and thanksgiving purifies and transforms your life. It purifies and transforms your life. And Ephesians, we talked about Revelation 4 and 5 and those themes of praise and praise and worship is going to be a great theme throughout the book of Revelation. So we're taking two messages in January to talk about the goodness of praise, and then next time I speak, 2 weeks from today, about how to develop a heart of praise. Then we'll be right back in the book of Revelation. February we'll do chapter 6 and chapter 7, and we'll go right through the book of Revelation. But that's the reason for this interlude here. Well, in Ephesians 5, talking about purifying and transforming your life, he says... Don't let immorality or impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And let there be no filthiness, let there be no silly talk or coarse jestings, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. Thanksgiving is a purification. See, when you get your eyes upon the Lord, Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold His glory, we are changed from glory to glory. One among countless other reasons that God wants us to deal with the hurt and the potential bitterness in our life. When you're bitter towards somebody, that's where your focus goes. Now, it's the last place you want your focus to go, but that's where it goes. And it's so much easier to see this in others than in ourselves, perhaps. But when you see somebody who's bitter, you know, I'm just so bitter toward my mother, my whatever, whoever it may be, and you see that person being transformed in the image of the person they're bitter toward. See, God wants to release you from that. It's even, he says, when you are anxious about something, and he says, talk to me about that. Talk to me and tell me what you want me to do about it, but also give thanks. Because, see, if you don't do that, you get wrapped up in the problem, not in God. And so, purifies and transforms your life. He says, let not the rich man be glory in his riches, let be your focus. Let not the wise man focus in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man focus his might, but let him boast in this, that he knows and understands me. Focus upon him. See, anything other than God will rob you of life, That's a constant daily prayer to me, and for you too, is that what? We would be on the path of life. You know, this sort of satire on idolatry that you see in more than one place. One place here is in Psalm 115, when he talks about the lifelessness of those idols. They have mouths, but they can't speak. They have ears, but they can't hear. They have noses, but they can't smell. It's there in Psalm 115, verses 4 to 8. But then when he gives the clincher to that, the lifeless idol, he says, those who make them will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. And so idolatry, we know, as John would say, guard your heart from idols. It goes beyond just the making of an image, which maybe none of us are tempted in that way. But an idol is that which you look to meet the thirst of your heart. Just asking God to uncover, what is it you can't live without? What is it you'll compromise to get? What is it you fear losing? That's an idol. And we can make idols of very respectful things. But that which you look to meet the thirst of your heart, it robs you of life. You have a mind that can't be used the way God wants you to. He wants you, what? Yielded to the Lord. A tongue that can't be used the way God wants you to. So it robs you of life. So one goodness of praise is it purifies and transforms your life. Purifies and transforms your life. I tell you, temptation, pray. Many times I say, praise you, God. You have a righteous way to meet this need in my life. I am contemplating an unrighteous way. You won't never get in trouble if you walk in the light with God. Walk open, honest, transparently before God. As you walk in the light, what happens? The blood of Jesus, His Son, continually cleanses you from all sin. It's the opposite of covering your sin. He who covers the sin shall not prosper. But he who confesses and forsakes it shall obtain compassion. So bring it in the presence of God. They say, demons are like cockroaches. When you bring them in the light, they scatter. So it purifies and transforms your life. Struggle in the light. There'll be days you're struggling. You're struggling to have the right attitude. And there are those evil days that are hard. But bring it in the presence of God. God is for you. Secondly, it gives you a perspective, the goodness of praise. When we praise Him and thanks Him, it gives us a perspective, and it even can bless your mental health. It gives you a perspective. And I'm not using that term lightly, because I know there's a great crisis in regard to our culture. But a perspective and a mental health. Part of it is we need to break the deceit. There's this deceitful search inside of every heart that's inescapable. Here's what that search is for. I need to find something or somebody that just, I can put my life in their hands and I'm totally secure. And I feel understood. I feel loved. Praise says the search is over. Only God can give me the promise. If you put your ultimate trust in me, you will not be disappointed. You put your ultimate trust in me, you'll not be disappointed. you'll not be. Oh, no, you can't promise yourself that. We've all disappointed ourselves. But if you trust in me, said more than once, Romans 9:33, among others. See, he is the one that won't disappoint you. He is the source of every goodness. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift. Any moment of peace, praise him for it. Every little blessing that we tend to take for granted. I was thanking God just for hot water as I took a shower this morning. I praise God. I know maybe some people like a cold shower. I don't. But I praise God for the hot water. I praise God for soap. I praise God that what? I'm not homeless. There are more gifted and smarter people than me that are. You take some wrong turns or whatever. So every blessing is a gift of God. I always praise God that we have food here, do we not? And that was a kind, unexpected kindness. When I was traveling home, we had this family weekend, and I got a call from Jim Scarin saying, "Where are you?" And I told him, "I'm on the search back." He said, "Well, tell me when you're going to get there." And somebody was kind enough to not eat that last pizza or whatever, and so I got a little bit. So, and I hope you enjoyed that too or whatever. Maybe that's a secret of 100 years or whatever. If it is, let's keep eating it. But anyhow, it'll be good. A perspective and mental health. It delivers from deceit. He is the source of all blessing. You know, when the psalmist was struggling, as he looked about him, he says, these people could care less about God. Here, I'm trying to, okay, praise him and worship him, and these people care less about God. Now, look at their life. Sometimes it looks more comfortable than mine. That was the struggle of the Psalm 73. But when he got into God's presence and he found got perspective, he said, "Oh, God, I've been reasoning like an animal. These people, their destruction is what? For an eternal torment." And oh my goodness, he began to agree with what will be inscripturated in Romans 8:18. The sufferings of this present world aren't worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. The glory that is to be revealed to us. So a perspective and mental health. You know, the most powerful man on the face of the earth at that particular time, King Nebuchadnezzar, was looking out at his marvelous things that he had achieved in his mind, and his heart was proud. And he says, "It's not this Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and the glory of my majesty." And then there instantly, what? It says what? "Sovereignty has been removed from you, and you'll be driven away from mankind." And God gave him a psychiatric disease. It's been documented in psychiatric books books of psychiatry that he felt like he was an animal. But here's the climax of it. It says, live there in that way. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, Deuteronomy 4:34, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants are counted as nothing. He does according to the will of in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off his hand. Who can say to him, what have you done? At that time, my reason returned to me. There are times that I have reasoned like an animal. There are times I've lost perspective. Well, praise and thanksgiving can awaken us back to that perspective and mental health. Here's a third thing in regard to the goodness of praise and thanksgiving. It builds unity and fellowship. Come, the psalmist says, Psalm 34:3, come, let us exalt his name together. Come, let us exalt his name together. One of my favorite verses is in the Bible is Romans 15:5, and I'll read Romans 15:5 and 6. Maybe it's yours too. It says what? May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement, God is the one who keeps us going. God is the one who encourages us. May he grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unity. You see, praise and worship demands reconciliation. Jesus said, when you go and go to give a gift at your altar and discover your brother has something against you, Leave the gift. Go. First be reconciled to your brother. And then come and present the gift. You see, the purpose of is what we want the attention to be to one person. One person, God. And so everything we do is to be done with that accord. Whether any gift you have, you address to draw attention to the Lord, any other thing. Now, how do you do that? There's really, quite frankly, if you really take that seriously, everything about your flesh doesn't want to do that. Why does it want to do that? Because the needs of our heart. You say, I feel like I'm not getting noticed. I need a little attention. Every heart has that in them. And the only way to truly give attention to Jesus before he left, he says, you know, I'm going to give you a helper, a divine helper. And that divine helper, he's going to come, John 16:14, and he will glorify me. That's our hope. We can what? Be filled with his spirit, as you're memorizing that scripture. And God, would you somehow in my life, whatever I have, to draw attention to you, draw attention to you. I was just talking to somebody on the way here, and he's sort of the main, if not only, light in his family, Christian-wise. And he was talking about a niece who has some serious health problems, and it was a sister's child, but he's organized with his sister. It's her child, and also his brother. There's three of them. He initiated. He did all this research. This girl is severely handicapped, and so he's organizing. And he says, "We'll all help pay for it. So that's okay." And we're going to surprise. He's going to go down there. She lives in Florida with her husband, the niece, and they're going to give her an electric wheelchair that she can carry around because she really has a hard time getting it. And one of the person said, "Well, what if she doesn't want it?" I said, "Well," he says, "well, we'll at least know that she doesn't. If you don't, we can take it back." But, you know, he wants to glorify what? A giving God. Now, there could be reasons or whatever that he could, you know, person hasn't always been the best steward of certain things or whatever. But anyhow, I appreciate it. He's done many other things too. But that unity in fellowship is we're filled with the Spirit. God's Spirit can bring us that what? Draw attention to him. Yeah. Well, you say, so we need the Spirit. You say, okay, when I need the Spirit and I want the power of the Spirit, what about my needs? God says, I understand that. And I want you to, that's part of praising me is what? Get in touch with your heart and your needs. Our needs are enormous, and they're nothing to be ashamed of. It's the way God made the human heart. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And the truth of the matter is, if you know your heart, it is, like mine, very, very thirsty. It's very thirsty. And that's the way God made us. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Your heart was made that it needs the attention of Almighty God every moment of every day, as if you're the only person in the world. And that's pretty needy. But that's the way God made us, because he made us for himself. And so, yes, we can take our thirst to God, saying, Lord, I feel like, hey, I have been sort of overlooked. I feel like, hey, you can talk to God and drink from him. One drink's not enough. And there can be circumstances and trials in your life that makes your heart even thirstier, and you can come to him. But under the control of the Spirit, even when you say, boy, it's just a chore of faith to get out of bed this morning, I'm struggling. But in those difficult days, God's Spirit can what? In the power of his Spirit, he can draw attention to Jesus. He can draw attention to Jesus. So, unity and fellowship. And quite frankly, some of the greatest gifts you can give somebody else is when you tell them a little bit about your need. That's what the psalmist is. I think that's the concept of the speaking to one another in hymns and psalms. Yeah. Remember, the psalmist would say, boy, I was in this situation, and I felt like almost despair, but I cried out to God, and this is how I saw him work. That's when you can tell those stories of God at work. That's a glorious thing in regard to the fellowship. And it helps not to pretend that you don't have any problem, because that breeds pretense. Because then other people have to go around thinking like, okay, I think that's why God so severely disciplined Ananias and Sapphira. He didn't ask them to give to sell the price and give all the money to God. He didn't ask them to do that. They didn't have the grace to do that. Now, Barnabas had the grace to do that, and Barnabas did it. And so they didn't have the grace to do it, so they pretended to do it. And God, in that early phase of the church, he disciplined them for their deceit. Now, he doesn't do that in every case, obviously. We'd have a smaller congregation. We wouldn't have a preacher. But we've all been deceitful because of that. We're just sort of afraid to really be truthful. But we can be truthful with God. So that unity and fellowship. Well, I give you two more. Displays of his goodness as we praise and thank him. It leads to guidance and service. Guidance and service. I love that Acts 13, too. It's the early church. It says they were ministering to the Lord. They were ministering to the Lord, Acts 13, 2, and fasting. And as they were doing that, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've given to do. So as they were worshiping God, see, as you're worshiping him and praising him, he won't make you irresponsible. He gave them the guidance, and he formed the first missionary team. You see, as we worship him and praising him, we worship him and praise him because he's our shepherd. Jeremiah 10:23, it does not lie with man to direct our path. I'm not supposed to be smart enough to know how to direct my path. I'm a sheep, but I have a shepherd. But as they were praising him, it says we worship and serve him. So worship leads to service. I appreciated this old out-of-print book of this mission organization. They talked about, okay, how did they get guidance? They said, well, sometimes we'd come together, and we knew we needed guidance in the situation, so we'd throw all the wisdom and the scripture on it we could and pray about it. But sometimes still, we weren't sure. But what we learned to do was this. What we learned to do, okay, we need this guidance, okay, and we still don't know what to do. But we learned to put that on the back burner. Now, God will always give us our daily bread of guidance. He'll always give us the guidance I need for this moment, this day. But sometimes we need things, okay. Well, trust God with that daily bread. And here's what they said they would do. They would just put that on the back burner and keep walking with God. And the illustration they gave that I'll never forget, they said, you know, if you throw a small pebble into a turbulent stream, you can't see the impression. But if you put that small pebble into a still pond, you can see it. They said, when your heart is all churned up, and mine's been there, wanting guidance and needing guidance, it hinders the process. It doesn't help the process. So, leads to guidance and service. And then the final goodness of his praise, it manifests his power and presence. God inhabits the praise of his people, Psalm 22:3. Manifest his power and presence. You know, I know that was an unusual situation there when Paul and Barnabas were thrown in prison there in Acts 16, or Paul and Silas, I should say, and they're praising God, and there God manifests his power in the earthquake that allows them to be released. Now, you might not always do it that way, but just as you saw there in 2 Chronicles 20, you did such an able job of reading that. As they said, we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you. And as they praised God, God manifested his power, and he won that battle. Praise is one of your most effective weapons in spiritual warfare. Now, I'll just give some illustrations. Far more, we have 2 Chronicles 20, and that's no better illustration than that, because that's in part of his word. But sometimes it does encourage us to hear other, and I'll give a few. They're not authoritative. They're not a part of Scripture. But I remember I was graduating from college, and I was looking. Maybe I've told you this story before. And I was looking for guidance, and there were several possible directions, and it was a totally different era where you didn't search the internet. There was no internet. You talked to people or wrote letters, you know, and getting guidance, anything. So, and I had searched and searched and searched and talked and talked and talked and found anybody that could listen. And I still wasn't sure what the next step was. And I remember just feeling God rebuked me in this sense, because I was petitioning God as if, really, God, I want this guidance far more than you want to give me guidance. And it was like God prompted me, why don't you praise me that I'm going to show you? You're petitioning me almost out of unbelief. And so now, this is how it happened in this instance. I'm not saying it happens this way. It certainly hadn't in every way. But as I praised God that he was going to show me, he did that next day in this situation, lead somebody across my path that ultimately was an insight and answer to ultimately where I would end up spending the next 6 years of my life. So now there are other situations I need guidance now, and I'm not saying everything is you praise God and then it's instant like that. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying God did give that encouragement. And that was after a long, long, long search. But God will always give you the daily guidance. So there is power in praising. There is the spiritual battles of your life. I probably told you that story about in the early days of teaching confronting, well, just seeing obvious cheating right before my very eyes as I was given a test. It was nothing subtle about it. And calling that person in and confronting them. And I never experienced anything exactly like this. That person literally, looked me right in the eye and said, no, I didn't. I said, I am delighted to be wrong. If your conscience is clear, this matter's settled. Next exam, same, nothing subtle about it. I mean, just nothing subtle about it. You know, it was just, and so I can't tell you the burden. I've said, look, I've confronted this person. I remember searching scripture about a seared conscience and the deceit of the devil. And I just seemed like it's got to be what it is. Because I think the person was able to convince himself. And I would just be going about in a day and things would be going okay. And then I'd be thinking about this and I would get so discouraged. I said, Lord, I'm seeing before my very eyes somebody that's going to destroy their life and I don't know anything I can do about it. And so I remember here was a dear student shared with me. He said, you know, the power of praise. He says, Satan so hates the genuine praise of God. Every time you're tempted to get so discouraged, I just want you to praise God that he's going to help you in regard to this. I tell you, that was the dose of medicine I needed. That was such a help. And it was not too long after that, actually, that I was talking with another professor, and he had a heavy heart. What's your heavy heart about? He says, boy, I just saw something I've never seen. I said, you remember when I was at your house and I was talking to you about that? I wonder if we're talking about the same person. Because I was very hesitant to give the person's name. I didn't want to. He said he wasn't hesitant. He gave the person, and we were talking about the same person. So we collectively confronted that person. I just saw there, and the person first denied it, but then he wouldn't let him deny it. And it was, there's something about looking two people in the eye that there was the person broke. So, but anyhow, but until that happens, until God raises up, how do you carry that? Praise was a great, great help. And I could give other illustrations. I'll probably give you that illustration from David Wilkerson's life and working with the gangs in New York City. And there was the gangs that were about to attack him. And as they did that, he just clapped his hands. He said, praise the Lord! And the gang broke ranks and fled. Now, that's the person that up. That is what happened. And now here's the person's illustration, well, their spiritual interpretation of that, he says, okay, that gang was activated by evil spirits who panicked at the shout of praise. I put that in a book. This other one I perhaps have shared with you, I've never put it in a book because I thought it would be misunderstood, although it was from an eyewitness account in Indiana of a dear revivalist who would come to this place to preach a series of revival messages, and he was getting ready for the first day. He was in a nearby field just going to be alone and praying, and what he wasn't told that there was a dangerous bull in that field until it was too late. And that mad animal chased him. And now this is from an eyewitness account. And when the bull was evidently about as close as the syringe to me, and he said from the top of his lungs, praise the Lord. That bull halted in his tracks and fled. Now that's what happened, because he thought his life was over. But Well, and now the spiritual interpretation of the person writing in that book, that's also put in a book, not one I wrote, but a book called Destined for the Throne, written many years ago, Paul Bilheimer, and he says, that bull was activated by evil spirits. Now, we know evil spirits can enter an animal. We see that in the Gospels and the pigs. And they were what? Trying to thwart that revival effort, that man of God. And so, well, I don't know, but there is power in prayer. Now, there's the song leader of D.L. Moody, Sankey. Maybe I've shared this with you. He was, one day he was singing one of his hymns. I think it's Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. And the person came up to him and he said, were you in the Union Army? Yes. Were you doing picket duty on a certain night? Yes. He says, I was in the Confederate Army. And I was about to shoot you. And then you broke out in that hymn. And I said, well, let him sing the hymn and then I'll shoot him. But after you sung the hymn, I couldn't pull the trigger. And then Sankey led that person to the Lord. But I'm not saying that they're not people who are martyred. I'm not saying that at all. But there's powerful. I know what Romans 1 says. The first step downward to man, the devolution of man, is they fail to honor God and give thanks. They fail to honor God and give thanks. So there's great power in praising the Lord. And those five things, purifying and transforming your life, a perspective and mental health, and unity and fellowship, guidance and service, and manifestation of the power and presence of God. Next time we're together, we'll talk about how to develop a heart of praise and worship. And thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you for the heart of praise that they do have in them. And we ask, God, you build in each one of our lives, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, God, would you build a heart of praise and worship to you? We know we need your help, dear God. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit afresh today, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.